And maybe I'll get to the message I have. It's in 2 Corinthians 5, maybe. Luke chapter 5, I was sitting there and God just spoke this into my heart real quick. So I'll try to be obedient to God more than I will trying to preach a perfect message. I would rather preach what God would have me to say to you this morning. And Luke chapter 15 and verse 4, if you have your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 15 and verse 4. This was not on the plan. What man of you having, are you seeing that? What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? Do y'all see that? There's a misconception. I've seen a post not long ago on social media that says, I'm all right to be misunderstood by some people. It's okay for other people to misunderstand me. That's hard. It's easier said than done. But I want you to understand kind of who I am and where I come from. Some of you guys have wonderful testimonies. You do. You have great testimonies. They sound something like this. I was coming to a church when I was a young child, 6 or 7 years old, and God dealt with my heart. And in Sunday school or in VBS or in church, I got saved when I was 7, 8, or 9 years old. I've never drank. I've never slept. I've had sex outside of marriage. I've never used illicit drugs. I've never lied. I've never stole. Those are wonderful testimonies. They're the best. They are. That's the best testimony. Sometimes we say a great testimony is somebody who was like me. And they lived a wild life and God rescued them. That's a testimony. That's not a great testimony. A great testimony is one that said, before I got too far out, God saved me. That's a great testimony. That's a wonderful testimony. And I've lived inside of those parameters. But I want you to understand who I am. I am one, and there are many in here like this. I am one who got out of the sheepfold. I was raised around church and had an understanding of church, but I never knew who the Savior was. I had a profession of who Jesus was, but I didn't have a possession of Him, and He had no possession of me. Scott used that this morning, so I thought I would add to this morning that. But Jesus radically saved me when I was 30 years old in a single-wide trailer in Chatsworth, Georgia. I was a sinner, but not only a sinner, but chief among sinners. A liar, a thief, a fornicator, an adulterer. There's probably not a sin that I have not committed. I'm not proud of that. That's not God's plan for me. I knew when I was 8 years old I was supposed to preach the gospel. I knew that. I used to attend church on my own. I'd go to Methodist, Church of God, Baptist. Matters who was having the greatest meal that week or the best meal. I hated when people touched me at church, especially when they grabbed your face and shook it like that or hugged you. I wouldn't go back to those churches. But I knew they had something that I wanted, but I ran from that most of my life. But Jesus apprehended me. He arrested me. August 28 of 04, I didn't want to get saved. I didn't want to live a Christian life. I did not want to do this. I had no desire. I was running from God. I thought I was God. I thought that the world revolved around me. I was very self-centered. I was a selfish man. I had no love for my wife. I had no love. I had a love for her, but it was corrupted because I didn't know what love was. But Jesus arrested me anyway. Come found me right where I was at, my Bethel. Bethel means in the Bible where Jesus meets you. Where did Jesus meet you? That's your Bethel, where God meets with a man. He arrested me that day, August 28 of 04, put me in the sheepfold. Put me in the sheepfold. He is my shepherd. He is the Lord of my life. And He put me in the sheepfold with people that I look around and I go, my, my, my. I don't know why in the world I'm in here with you, but I am. And praise God, I've got scars. I've got seen scars and unseen scars. I've got things that I have seen and have had done to me, said to me, and experienced on the inside of who I am. And there have things on the outside that I have chosen and done and brought on myself. But for some way, somehow, God still put me in the sheepfold. And you might mistake me sometimes and think, man, he's righteous, he's holy, he's very opinionated when it comes to sin and how he feels about Jesus. Listen, I'm just a sheep who got put in the sheepfold, who knows I don't have a degree in theology, but I do have a degree in sin. I know where sin will take you. I know what sin will cost you. Not because I read about it, not because I think about it, because I experienced it. And when the shepherd closes up the sheepfold, when he puts some brush and bramble and some things to keep the enemy out and secures the sheepfold and steps over the sheepfold and goes out to get the one that left. Hey, man, are y'all still with me? When we see the shepherd pull up his skirt past his knees and step over the hedge that he's prepared for us, turns and looks at us as the sheep and says, guys, I love you. Golly. I love you. And I will keep you. And I will protect you. And the enemy will not come in here. But we have a brother or a sister who is out there. And I'm going to go get him. The sheep in the sheepfold, like me, we go to praising. Go get them, Jesus. Go get them. Go get them. Go get them from the lion. Go get them from the bear. Go get them from the wolf. Go get them from the enemy. Go get them. And then the good ones, I don't know what it's like to be out there in the dark. Golly, I wish I'd let me preach right here. I don't know what it's like to be, because there's some of us, I've been there, I've been in the dark. And I've heard the growls and the lion roaring and didn't know if I was going to make it out. Didn't know if I was going to die in my sin. But then the shepherd came. Whew. The only offensive weapon we have in the Bible is the shepherd. He shows up in that dark place, runs off the enemy, corrects you. Right before you get saved, you get corrected. Amen? You don't get saved until you're broke. You don't repent until you realize your sin is driving you to a terrible place. He'll break you, but then he'll place you. Anybody here been broken and placed? Break that leg. Break that place in your life. Broke that heart. Saved you, put it on his shoulders, and started carrying you home. Good Lord. Is there anybody been carried home here? Can y'all remember when he's getting close to the sheepfold and you're on them shoulders and you're crying, oh God, I can't believe. And all of a sudden you thought it was going to be a terrible day, because when you showed up back to the sheepfold, you thought all the good sheep would be like, man, you're a bad dude. You don't belong in here with us. Right? Can I take y'all somewhere? Can I take you to a scripture that you probably misread for the last 15, 20 years? Y'all want to? Y'all want to do it for fun? Go to verse 10 real quick. This ain't even supposed to be the message, guys. What kind of preacher do you allow to be here that don't have a plan on Sunday sometimes? Y'all see that verse 10? Y'all want to see this like you've never seen it before? Some of you know it, but some of you, we've kind of messed this up. Have y'all ever said something like this? There'll be angels rejoicing in heaven because that soul got saved? Y'all ever said that? Well, hang on, watch this. Likewise, this is my Bible. I hope it's in yours too. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels. Wait a minute. I thought that said... Oh, wait a minute. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. That did not say that the angels are rejoicing. It says they are in the presence. Oh, wait a minute. Then who's doing the rejoicing? Wait a minute. When God lays you off in the sheepfold and begins to celebrate in the presence of the angels. See, if you had really let that hit the way it was supposed to hit, we'd be having church right now. Because the day that you got saved, the angels didn't celebrate harder than Jesus did. The angels were in awe of what Jesus was doing because of you. They were going, mate. The Bible says the angels desire to look into what's going on with Jesus and us. And then I have dare say there were probably some saints there since Calvary when Jesus went to worshiping and praising because the sheep was home. I bet there was a couple of others over there going, yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Guys, I want you to know this with all my heart. We can do a lot of things in this church. We're going to do a lot of things in this church. They're going to be amazing things. But if you don't know Jesus and you die lost from this place, you have failed and we have too. I want you to be a part of this church. I want you to be a part of this ministry. But I don't want you to be a part of the church and miss heaven. When Jesus gets on the inside, take your Bibles, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to get there. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for letting me preach the message that you let me prepare for a little bit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. Are y'all good? Can we spend about 10 more minutes while we're here? Because it might be the difference between somebody getting saved and not getting saved this morning. Be honest. Because there are people sitting in amongst us this morning that are not born again. They're not saved. They're living some pretty good lives, but they're living recklessly and dangerously. They are going out every single day unsaved, and guess what? Their life is but a vapor. Everybody in this room within the next 100 years will stand before an almighty God and give an account for your life. And God himself will stand before you, and he will either accept you or reject you. The only thing he'll be looking for is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe that he is the only begotten Son of God and he died for your sins and the sins of the world and you put all your faith and trust in him, he will say, enter in, my good and faithful servant. Amen. God will not reckon with you. He will not argue with you. He will not try to give you an account or give you a time to talk about things. What he'll do is he'll simply listen for the blood that was shed at Calvary. The blood speaks. That is a principle that was often in Genesis when Cain slew Abel. God heard the blood of the righteous man crying out. Amen. God hears blood like a dog hears a dog whistle. Amen. He listens for it. You know what the blood of Christ says? Innocent, forgiven, holy, righteous. Amen. If he don't hear that, he's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. When you stand before God on judgment day, what he is looking for is he is not looking at you. He is looking for his son Jesus upon your life. You will be standing there and he will look at you and he will be looking for his son's sacrifice and righteousness on and covering you. And if he does not find it, he will push you out of his presence for eternity. You are, my friend, if you are sitting here in this place unsaved, you are the most honored guest we have here. Stop pretending to be something you are not. Because I'm going to share with you today what it looks like to be a Christian. Verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us, constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. This is Gospel 101. Listen to this. If Jesus died on that cross for the sins of the world, if he died for one, he died for all. If Jesus died, that means we were all guilty. Every person in this room, there was not one of you sitting here that was born righteous. You have not always loved God, and you've not always been in faith. Some of you are going to sit here right now and you're going to try to say, but I've always been a Christian. No, there is no such thing as always being a Christian. When you were birthed under the seed of Adam. That was a condemned seed. You are guilty of sin when you are birthed into this world. Then you reach an age to understanding what is right and what is wrong. Then you are accountable for your soul. Verse 15, and then he died for all that they which should live not hence live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Verse 15 says this, once you get saved, you no longer are living for yourself. You are living for the one who saved you. Amen. Listen, I'm not saying you're going to live this super perfect life, but you are going to live this life that is 180 degrees from where you are living. You're going to live a life that you often say to this to God, whatever you would have me to do, I will do. Wherever you would have me go, I will go. If that does not look like that for you, if you are always consumed in trying to please yourself, then you need to check up whether you are in the faith or not. Verse 16, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. And some of y'all are looking at that going, what does that mean, brother? It means this. I don't care what you say. We're not looking at your flesh. Your flesh man can make everything seem right. We can justify a lot of things in our flesh. Amen? But here's what we're looking for. We're looking for the arrival of a spiritual man on the inside. Born again means you are born of the Spirit, not just of the flesh. When you get saved and born again, God Himself, one part of the Godhead, Jesus said, it is expedient for me to go away that you might receive the Comforter. That means the Holy Spirit of God. Why does He comfort? What does He comfort in? He comforts in two things. One, your eternal life and where you're going to heaven. And two, all the trouble you're going to get in on the face of this earth, He will comfort you during that, saying, this trouble is not because of you, it's because of Jesus in you. Amen? Do you have that going on? Can I give you one more about that Holy Spirit? Can I give you one more indication? I'm going to do that in a second by this last verse and I'll be done, I think. But let me tell you this right here. Once you get saved, there should be a war going on the inside of you. Amen? Not on the inside of your flesh, on the inside of your mind. Amen? I've told y'all this a million times. The biggest change you will have when you become a Christian is not this relationship with God or church or whatever. It'll be a relationship to your sin right off the bat. Golly. Somebody amen me every once in a while. I'll be all right. Make sure you're still alive. I want to go out there right now and put a mirror up under some of you and see if you're still on there. Amen? I'm serious. Listen, when you get saved, the biggest change right away is going to be the fact that the things that you love to do, you now hate. Amen? You hate them. You might even do them some. You might even fall back into them. But praise God, you won't never say, man, that's what I do, and you're going to have to deal with it. You'll be like this. That's what I did, but I hate that. You know whose sin bothers me the most? This guy's. And when he does them, he hates them. God hates them, and I hate them. Amen? Watch this right. Are y'all ready for the test? Here's the test. Therefore, God, I love this. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it's my favorite, one of my favorite verses in the Bible to test whether you're in the faith or not. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, that word right there, if, in verse 17, underline that, highlight that, and circle that, because that's where you start examining whether you're saved or not. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Whew. And you know who notices that first? You. Your wants change. Your desires change. Your heart, your mind changes. Old things are passed away. What happens? That old man, he begins to die. Some of it quickly, some of it slowly. I tell people it's all August 28 of 04. You know what died first? I'm going to nail some of you right here. That cussing. I guess Jesus didn't want a cussing preacher. Amen? Because some of y'all talk a big game, but if I was just cussing you out all the time, you'd probably wonder, wouldn't you? Well, I used to cuss people out all the time. I was an expert. I was an artist in the cursing words. Amen? Sorry, I just was. God corrected that first. Did I have any other fouls in there? Do I have any fouls in my spirit? Oh, yeah. Is God still working on them? Yes. We have funerals all the time. Amen? I have funerals all the time for stuff that I didn't even realize were gone, but were gone. Amen? But then sometimes I had a funeral, golly bum. I have a funeral sometimes, Rick, for some things in my flesh that I thought were dead, but they come back to life. It's kind of embarrassing. I tell them, man, we already had the funeral for you. And here you are still alive and well. Wait, what I'm preaching right there, what I'm trying to tell you, is you could be down the road as a Christian for a while, and some things you thought died and died in your flesh. The right thing hit you at the right moment. Next thing you know, you're doing that thing, and all of a sudden you're sitting there going, woohoo, glory, I didn't even know you were there. God says, I'm good enough to bring it out now. Good. That's good preaching right there. I don't know if you know that or not, but you got a Heavenly Father that will allow things to come into your life to expose things that are still in your flesh. Not to ruin you, not to embarrass you, not to hurt you, but to change you for His good and His glory. Man, I love that. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Man, that's one of my favorite points right there. Is anybody in here... I don't look at anybody directly. Is there anybody in here either was a good liar or still is? Okay. I don't want to try to look down. I don't want nobody to be like. Because I wouldn't determine if you still are or was. When I was lost, I was a great liar. Let me explain how good of a liar I was. After I got saved down the road some, I would be telling a story, and part of the story would come out, and it was a lie, and I would kind of start telling it, and I would have to shut up. And somebody would say, well, what happened? You shut down on that part of the thing. I said, I think I'm telling one of my lies when I was lost that I believed myself. Oh, I'm sorry, y'all wasn't on that level. I'm sorry. Just keep lying. You'll get there. Hey, man, you'll get there. It's easily obtained. The devil is a liar. He's the father of all lies. And he even believes his own lies. He thinks one day he's going to ascend up into heaven and rule over God. He's not. He's going to be cast into a pit for eternity. Amen? He lied to himself. He can lie to you too. But what I'm saying is, praise God, I used to lie a lot. And I could say things. I could almost make you believe that I was a believer. I could go to church, and guess what? I could get on the roller coaster ride of Christianity. I knew where to get in. I knew where to get on. I knew where to sit. I knew when to raise my hand. I knew when to put them down. I knew when the ride ended just to go back outside and do what I was always doing. Amen? I knew to tell people certain things. I made great speeches. Anybody in here, when you were lost, made great speeches to people because of your reckless behavior? Mine almost sounded like Abraham Lincoln. I would stand up to my wife and my family and people, and I'd say, henceforth, therefore, too narrow, never, ever again. Well, this man that stands before you, behold, he has changed. He will never do the things he's been doing anymore. I'm getting tired of lying, cheating, and stealing. But then for a week later, 2 weeks later, I'm back to my old stuff. Amen? Oh, gosh. I know somebody in here like me. None of y'all are like me. I would make bold proclamations. Honey, believe me, I will never empty the bank account again. Behold, all things have come to you. You know what I'm saying? What I'm getting at is this. When I really, truly got saved, you know what I stopped doing? I stopped telling that woman right there and that son right there. I stopped telling them this. I stopped telling them, listen to what I'm saying. You know what I'd say? Behold means look. I'd say, look. Look at me. Look at me. Look at my life. Don't let me tell you something you don't see. If you don't see it, it ain't real. I'm not hiding, dodging. My wife, this used to be a thing. Golly, I don't date myself. She could not go in my wallet at one time in history. That's not a thing anymore. It's cell phone now. Used to, men, we hid things in our wallets. Prior to that, they used to call these things little black books. I know Ask your grandfather what that is. But I would put things in my wallet. Sometimes I would hide money that I said that we did not have. I still do that sometimes. I do, sorry. Information put in there. That's where, you know, she could not look into it. When I first got a phone, absolutely no way you can look. No. I would throw my phone in the water before. Right? I'm being honest with you. There's nothing to hide anymore. You know what? I don't tell her. I didn't tell her when I got saved. Listen, she should have knew something right away. I remember laying on the bed in Chatsworth, Georgia, should have had a fit, but I wasn't. I was laughing and crying. And she said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "I'm a changed man. You're just going to have to wait and see." Not wait and listen. Wait and see. Wait and see. Guys, Jesus will change you. And you will not be afraid to let Him change you and let everybody watch. This is where I'm going to close. Let's all stand, matter of fact. Y'all won't believe it if I say I'm closing. 1 second. As I've got a goal in my life. I've got a goal. I've got a goal in my life. I didn't know I was meeting it until recently. I got in some trouble the last couple weeks, if y'all didn't know. But I've been telling some people my whole life what my goal was since I got saved. What my goal was. You know what my end goal is for ministry? Y'all know what it is? My end goal for ministry. It's for that boy, that young man, and that woman right there to be able to stand by my casket and say that man was real. That's my goal. And when I got in the most trouble I've been in a while, you know who the people that came to my rescue were right away? And I didn't even recognize it. These two people right here. Honey, Daddy, we know. We know. Because August 28th of 04, the old man died and a new man was born again. And all I've got to say to them is, behold, all things are becoming new. All things are becoming new. Amen? There's still parts of my life that need to die. But I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not the wretched sinner that I used to be. And God doesn't want you to be the wretched sinner you are or you have been either. Amen? Today, I want to tell you this. We've had people praying since 7 o'clock this morning for people that came in this congregation that were lost and undone. You say, "Man, we got to have a spiritual awakening." I want you to know this. Salvation is a free gift. And it's offered to you because everyone in this room, you have an appointed time. And then you are going to stand before an almighty God. If you're not saved this morning, I offer you at these altars a free gift. And here's all you have to do. You had to come to this altar and say, "God, I'm a sinner. I believe you died for me. And I want you to be the Lord of my life." That's how easy it is to get saved. Then you look for the fruit of that. Do you hate the things you used to hate? Now love the things that you used to hate. I thought that wrong. Hate the things you used to love and love the things you used to hate. Thank you. So we're going to play a song as they come. I don't know what song they're playing. But if God spoke to you, I don't even know why you'd wait 1 second. Let's do this. Every head bowed, every eye closed. And I'll just give you a hot second right here. If God's been dealing with you, if you know you're sitting here right now and you're not saved, if you know you're sitting here right now, and if you took your last breath, if you died before this day is over, that you would not be in eternity with Jesus, you need to step out right now and come to these altars. Just step out. I don't care what you do in society. I don't care what job you hold. I don't care what position you might have held in this church. I don't care how long you've been here. If you don't know without a shadow of doubt where you would spend eternity, will you please come and seek the Lord? As they sing this morning, just a few more seconds. Go ahead, Scott.